Take your Bibles again and look with me, if you would, at three verses in Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6, three verses this morning. The Bible says in verse number 43, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruits. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Let's pray and ask God's blessings and direction in the message this morning. Father, thank you for the great privilege that I have to hold forth the Word of God. If we were today to meet around the knowledge and wisdom that I have, it would be a very brief meeting, and it would have little to no impact upon the everyday life of individuals in society. But Lord, we can come to the Word of God that never changes. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is based upon an unchanging God. And so it does not move with the society changes. It does not move with cultural changes. The Bible stands. And I pray that you would help each one of us to see the truths in these verses and to make application this morning. I pray that you would direct my thoughts. I pray that this would be a help, a challenge, a convicting work in each life today. May you have your will and way. May you direct. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We have here in the passage the root of our fruit. The root of our fruit. What's at the root of your fruit? This same text is given to us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. In that passage, the Lord Jesus Christ prefaces the nature of the story of the fruit and the root with that of false preachers and teachers. And he starts by saying, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And then he walks down through these same verses about the good tree and the corrupt tree. Let me ask you this morning, what kind of fruit are you producing? What is the root of your fruit? Fruit has to do with two different things. Number one, what a person bears in his own life, and what a person bears in the lives of others. So can I make this very clear at the outset, that the Bible acknowledges this truth, that everyone is bearing some kind of fruit. We are inundated today in a pop Christianity or a pop Christian world that gives this mantra: it does not matter what is happening on the outside, because I know what God is doing on the inside. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible acknowledges that all of us are producing fruit. In other words, our fruit is telling everyone else something. When you walked into the services today, if you walked by me today, and I hope this did not happen, but if you walked by me today with great joy and energy for coming into the house of the Lord, and you said something like this, "Good morning, Pastor, I'm so glad to see you." If I responded this way, what's good about it? I would be telling you something about what's going on the inside, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So we're all bearing fruit. But what does our fruit tell other people? Well, we often hear this as well in the greater level of society, in the pop Christian world. We'll hear something like this: "You can't judge me. Don't judge me. You know the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. You can't judge me." Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm not judging you. I'm just inspecting your fruit. I won't judge you anymore, but I'm going to be a fruit inspector. And I'm going to come by and I'm going to acknowledge what kind of fruit appears to be coming from a certain kind of root. So everyone today came by somebody else and you picked fruit off of someone else's tree and you said, look at that wonderful piece of fruit, that fruit of love. Boy, that's such a blessing. Some of you came by a fruit of mercy and you picked that fruit off of someone else's life and they demonstrated mercy, they demonstrated kindness, and you picked that fruit off and you said, my, what a blessing that they've been. But no doubt this week you've come by some trees and there was some hatred. And you might have picked off the fruit of bitterness from their life. You might have seen the bitterness or seen the fruit that's demonstrated in their life and what they've said and what they've done. And you encountered them, you interacted with them at some point in time this week. And you'd say, man, that was terrible. Now, there are many of you here in the audience that just love fruit. I heard someone say the other day that they've started a new diet and they cut out all fruits and vegetables. I'm like, man, that's a great diet. That sounds awesome. Some of you just love fruit. You can't get enough of it. My youngest son loves blueberries. And a dear couple in our church there in Tennessee for his birthday brought him this giant container of blueberries for his birthday. And we had to convince him because his mind saw, this is my favorite, I'm going to eat this. I don't know if it's still his favorite, but at that time, this was his favorite. We had to convince him that it was a bad idea to eat it all at once. Because he would have just sat there and put all of those away, and then we would have seen the outcome of that. That's to say it delicately. See, I told the staff this past week, my philosophy is that if I eat a lot of stuff with preservatives in it, it's going to preserve me. You see, you can take a McDonald's cheeseburger and set it in a windowsill for 5 years. Come back, pick it up, microwave it, and it will taste exactly the same as it would have if you just got it from across the counter. Say, Pastor, I don't want to look like a McDonald's cheeseburger. I don't either, but if that's preservation, man, I'll take it. You see, you can tell me all day long that the outside does not matter, but the truth of the matter is it does matter. It does matter. There have been many occasions where I've been unnerved about the surroundings. Why? Because the outward appearance of many around me gave me cause for concern. We are all to be fruit inspectors. We're all, in fact, judging what kind of fruit that others are producing. The Bible acknowledges that fact. Look at what the Bible says. Every tree is known by his fruit. Every tree. So when you came in today, whether someone knows you as a long-time participant in FBT or a first-time visitor, from the moment that someone meets you, you're demonstrating fruit. You're demonstrating the nature of what's at your root. So let's break these two verses down, these three verses down. And let's look at the two different sides. And I want you to see how our root affects our fruit. Number one, corrupted root, corrupted fruit. Number one, corrupted root, corrupted fruit. Look at the latter part of the verse, verse number 43. Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. But what happens? Corrupt root results in corrupt fruit. Now, have you ever had a bad piece of fruit? A bad piece of fruit? Now, some of you are fruit connoisseurs, and you are the best when you go in the grocery store, and you understand what you're looking for. I'm looking at, okay, what's the price say, and how many can I get for that price? But some of you are very good. You'll pick the cantaloupe up and you can smell the end of that and you'll know, hey, this is the one to buy. Some of you understand the nature of that watermelon and how the yellow is just perfect on the bottom of that watermelon. Hasn't been sitting too long, hasn't been sitting the right amount of time. You're perfect at that. You've got it down. The bananas, the apples, the tomatoes, for those of you that believe that it's a fruit. You've got it down. You understand the selection process. But on occasion, you've come into a thing and you thought, man, that's going to be a tremendous piece of fruit. This past week, a dear pastor here in the area brought me a container of Korean pears. Korean pears. Some of you may have had those before. And I'm telling you, the staff, it's more than, certainly more fruit than I've eaten in a lifetime, but certainly more fruit than I would eat normally in a week. And so I'm sharing it with the staff, and boy, you don't see, I mean, as they crack each one of those or open them up and so forth and begin to slice them, oh, it's brought joy and happiness. Hey, Pastor, that tastes great. Remember, my wife and I were serving outside of the country, and someone brought to us a Jamaican apple. And they said, oh, Pastor Todd, you've got to try this Jamaican apple. And it kind of was shaped like a pear, but it had the coloring of an apple, and it tasted like fruit. I mean, that's all I can say. But you know what it's like when you've inspected and you thought, okay, this is going to be good, and then you bite into it, and they, oh. I've heard my wife say this, ooh, those tomatoes aren't ready. Those tomatoes aren't ripe. And I'm like, well, that's obvious. It's not yet ketchup. Everyone should know that. But you've bitten into it and you said, oh, that does not taste like I expected. There's a corrupt root and a corrupted fruit. Well, if I can go further on this with you this morning, all of us are born with the corrupt root. No matter how dressed up we may get, no matter how shined up the outside might be, the truth of the matter is the Word of God reveals to us exactly what we are at the root from the time of conception. The Bible tells us that we are in fact born in sin. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. John chapter 3 and verse number 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten of the Son of God. John 3 and verse number 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Take your Bibles and quickly turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is identifying all of us as guilty. And he does that in the opening chapters. The book of Romans unfolds as a court case. And the Word of God tells us that the law finds every single person guilty before Almighty God. Imagine when the next baby is born at FBT, if I arrive at the hospital and I say, oh, point out your little child to me. And you say, oh, there he is or there she is. And I say, oh my, oh, look at that little sinner. Now you'd be offended, but I would be accurate. Oh, isn't that just a precious little wicked heart? Oh, great! Another child of the devil birthed into the world. That may not endear me to you, but in fact, that's what we are. I'm born with a corrupt root. I have a corrupt root. It's not a surprise then that I have corrupt fruit. Romans chapter 3, look at the details of your life and my life before Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is you and I. This is you and I. Take your Bibles one more time and go to Galatians chapter number 5. Would you look at Galatians chapter number 5? Pastor, this is pretty depressing. Well, this is truth. The Bible says we are all born with a corrupt root, and therefore it is no surprise that we produce corrupt fruit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. So here's some of the fruit that I might pick from a corrupt root. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. This is verse number 19, Galatians chapter 5. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Folks, understand that all of us have a corrupt root. As sweet and as precious as that youngster might be, the fact of the matter is that if they're not led to Christ, that their corrupt root is going to show more and more. In the early stages, they just say things like, no, when mom and dad tell them to do something. Or they say something like this, mine. Where does that come from? You know, my parents never sat down with me and had a class on lying, but I learned to lie. My parents never sat me down in an educational setting and said, now, son, we're going to give you the 5 steps to stealing. When you walk into the establishment, you will make eye contact with something that you would like. You know full well that you do not have the resources in your wallet, but you know full well as well that no one is looking. You can take that item, you can place it neatly in your pocket and walk out of the store. Mom and dad never had that class with me. They never told me how to back talk. They never told me how to be disrespectful. They never said to me any of those things. But all of a sudden now that's coming out of my mouth. That's coming out of my life. Why? Because I had a corrupt root. I had a corrupt root. And the Bible details this for us. Moms and dads, never take for granted that your precious youngster is actually corrupt to the core. And they have a great need. Moms and dads, don't be surprised that your kids show this kind of fruit if they've not yet accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. A corrupt root will bring about corrupt fruit. Well, if that were the end of the message, we'd all rejoice, but we'd go out of here in dire need. Because the Bible, if you go back with me to Luke chapter number 6, the Bible details for us a second part. And it says that we have a corrupt root and it produces a corrupt fruit, but then the Bible indicates a second type of root and a second type of fruit. The first one is the corrupt root with corrupt fruit. The second one, the Bible says, a good tree. Verse number 43. Verse number 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. So we understand, yes, there's a corrupt root that produces corrupt fruit. It's in me from the time of conception. I'm a sinner in need of something to be done. Well, then the Bible comes over here and it says, okay, it is possible to depart from the corrupt root and the corrupt fruit and to come to a good root and good fruit, but how? How? Well, I'll just be better. I'll just do better. I'll just read some good books. I'll just listen to some good music. I'll be a better person. I'll be a moral person. I'll be a good citizen. I'll do all the things that I need to do to be helpful to my fellow man. I'll protect the environment. I'll say what I should say. I'll not say what I should not say. I'll try to cheat less. I'll try to lie less. I'll try to steal less. And so we begin to think to ourselves that we can change our root. But my friend, we cannot. We cannot move from being corrupt in our root and fruit to being good in our root and fruit of our own accord. It is not possible. Well, how am I going to go from corrupt fruit and corrupt, or from corrupt root and corrupt fruit to a good root and good fruit? The first thing that is necessary for good roots and good fruits, salvation. You and I needed someone to do something for us that we could not do for ourselves. It would be so easy for me this morning to get up in front of an audience like this and just tell everybody, hey, give $500 to our church and we'll guarantee you a home in heaven. That would be so easy. Hey, donate a brick for the next building and the next section of the building, and we'll guarantee your home in heaven. Hey, come out for the Saturday, clean up the highway, and we'll guarantee you your home in heaven. Oh, that'd be so easy. But as I would be in these earlier verses, I would be the blind leading the blind because I cannot in and of myself change my root. The root of my life is a heart, and that heart needs to be spiritually transplanted. I need to meet someone who can do for me what I could not do for myself. The old time song, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And that someone is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. John chapter 4 and verse number 13 and 14. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John chapter 6 in verse number 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. My friend, you cannot change from a corrupt root to a good root in your own work. Jesus Christ paid it all. Jesus did the work on the cross. Jesus knew no sin, but he became sin for you and for me, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, if I'm going to produce good fruit, then I've got to have a heart transplant because my original heart is corrupt. It's no surprise that I produce corrupt fruit because I have a corrupt root. But in 1976, Jesus changed my root. He forgave me of my sins. He changed my direction. Instead of headed on the path towards destruction, I'm headed on the path to eternal life. Jesus did all of that instantaneously. When I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart, brother, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can have that spiritual heart transplant today if you would do what the Bible says to do. One of the things that man-made religion teaches is that you can never declare to someone that you know for sure where you're headed in eternal life. I mean, they just say, that's something that nobody can know. Well, I'm telling you right now, 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13, all these things have been written that we may know that we have eternal life. I know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven, not because of anything that I've done, but because of what Jesus Christ did for me. The first step in having a good root and being able to produce good fruit is that of salvation. You must know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It is a spiritual transplant. It is going from the family of the devil to the family of God, from the corrupted root to the good root. I can now demonstrate good fruit. Well, what's the second part? The first part is that of salvation. The second part is that of saturation. Will you take your Bibles and go with me to Colossians chapter number 3? Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. We're going to work our way backward through some Pauline epistles here. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16. I know Christ as my Savior. I have a good root now in salvation, and I have the potential to produce good fruit. But if that's going to happen, there must be a saturation. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. So the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Ephesians chapter number 5. There's a verse that I want you to see. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 18. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So I'm saturated by the Scriptures. I'm saturated by the Spirit. Now go to Colossians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. If you're looking for Colossians chapter 5, you're going to be looking a long time. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Again, going backwards from Colossians to Ephesians to Galatians. Saturated by the Scriptures, saturated by the Spirit. Look what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. And by the way, you might have caught this, but this is right on the heels of the works of the flesh that were found there in verses 19 to 21. Verse number 22. But, and let's partner these things up. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, be filled with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I'm asking you, Christian, this morning, did anyone see any of those fruits from your life this week? Did anyone see the fruit of love from your tree this week? Did your kids see it? Did they see the fruit of joy? Did they see the fruit of long-suffering this morning when you were waiting on your family to get into the car so that you wouldn't be late to church? Did they see the fruit of peace from your life? Well, I'll tell you, if I could just park there for just a moment, we live in a very unpeaceful world. Oh, everybody says they want peace, but we're in no way in agreement on how we get peace. I have a way that we could get peace, but I'm telling you right now, there'd be a lot of people against it. We live in a world that is crying out for peace. Did anyone see peace in your life this week? Did anyone see faith? Did they see goodness? Did they see a gentleness about your life this week? Are you so saturated with the Scriptures? Are you so saturated with the Holy Spirit that these fruits just come in abundance? Take your Bibles and look at one more passage with me, if you would. Psalm 1. Psalm 1, if you'll turn all the way over to Psalm 1 and verse, and Psalm 1 and verse number 1. Psalm 1 and verse number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. They're not hanging out with all the corrupt roots. But his delight, his saturation, his fulfillment, his love in life, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He's saturated with the Word of God. He's saturated with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is filling him and feeding him and directing him. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When I come by your life, do I see a good root producing good fruit? If I overheard the conversation between spouses that took place in this previous week in the recesses of your own home, would it be a demonstration of good roots and good fruit? If I heard the way you talk to your children, if I heard the way you talk to your parents, if I heard the way you communicated with fellow employees, if I heard the way you interacted with neighbors, would I see good roots and good fruits? Or would there be people coming by and picking off that fruit and saying, well, it looks like it should taste good, but that's bitter. That's not ripe. A farmer one day planted two fruit trees on opposite sides of his property. The one he planted to provide a hedge to hide an unsightly view of an old landfill. The other to provide shade to rest under a cool near a cool mountain stream which ran down beside his fields. As the true trees grew, both produced and began to bear and produce fruit. And one day the farmer decided to gather the fruit from the tree nearest his house, the one used to provide a hedge from the landfill. And as he brought the fruit inside the house, he noticed that it was a little deformed. The symmetry of the fruit was not very good, but still the fruit looked edible. Later that evening, while sitting on his porch, the farmer took one of the pieces of the fruit for a snack, and biting into the fruit, he found it to be extremely bitter and completely inedible. Casting the fruit aside, he looked across the field to the other tree over by the mountain stream. And after walking across the field, the farmer took a piece of that fruit from the other tree and bit into it, only to find the fruit to be sweet and delicious. And he gathered several more pieces of the fruit and took them to the house. The fruit was greatly affected by the nutrition of the root. Just as the tree grew by the landfill to be bitter and the tree by the stream produced sweet fruit, so the Christian has a choice. He can either put down his roots into the soil of the landfill of fleshly pursuits or into the cool, refreshing stream of the person of Jesus Christ. We must understand that the root bears the fruit. The fruit of the Christian is the outward evidence of the inward motivation. I'm going to close with illustration. As you think on this morning, let's use this as our starting point of two different options. Here's my starting point tomorrow morning. I get out of bed and I didn't sleep well. And so I'm just a tad bit grumpy. The coffee maker didn't start off on time, so the coffee isn't what it ought to be. And I go in and I turn on 24/7 news and get my news update because they only produce news that is encouraging. And I find out the laundry list of terrible things that happened overnight. And then I might kiss my spouse goodbye and the hot water heater didn't work like it should have, and so I'm a little bit disheveled this morning. Just so difficult. I get in the car and I put on the world's music, and it adds to my depression. Certainly, if you listen to country music, you're going to be depressed because everything's left you. You lost everything, your job, life, spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. You've lost it all. Your truck died and your dog died. And you show up at work and something's wrong with the electronic key locks and you try to go inside and nothing's working. You scan and you scan and you scan. What is wrong? Then you finally make it into your cubicle and someone stole your chair. You've been working on the conformity of that chair for a dozen years and now it's gone. And somebody comes by you and has the gall of saying something like this: "How's your morning?" You think about it. Isn't that how most people begin their process for the day? Wouldn't it make a big difference if we got up in the day and through some avenue, whether it's a physical Bible in our hand or listening to it on our way to work, wouldn't it be much better if we got up and we said, "Lord, thank you for another day of life"? Wouldn't it be much better if we listened to the Word of God? Wouldn't it be much better if we listened to music that honored God, that pleased God, that motivated and fed our spirit? Wouldn't it be much better to head in the office in that way? And say, "You know, I know that life will never be perfect, but I'm here to represent a perfect Savior, and that perfect Savior has changed my route, and so I can produce the right kind of fruit." You see, everyone this week is going to interact with somebody else. Does that somebody else in your life say something like this in their minds? "Boy, they got up on the wrong side of the bed." Or will they say something like this: "You know, regardless of the circumstances, there's something going on in that person's life that is so consistent that they never seem to have a bad day." I sure want people coming by the fruit of my root and picking off of that tree love and joy and peace. I want them picking off the fruit of long suffering. I sure don't want them coming by and saying, "Boy, that was a terrible piece of hate. Boy, that bitterness tasted awful. Boy, that language was just cantankerous and filthy." I don't want that seen in my life. So let me ask you the three things. Are you still in that position over here where you still have a corrupt root and you need Jesus Christ this morning? All of us had to reach that place where we personally trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Have you done that? From the youngest to the oldest here in the auditorium, have you been born again? Christian, you give testimony of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you know the devil still has some strongholds in your life. And the Word of God details it for us with this word. He says it's carnality. You're saved, but your fruit does not match. You filled your mind with all this junk, and so it's very easy for you, even though you're washed and you're born again, you've been made new on the inside, it's easy for you to fall into the trap of being a loser Christian for Almighty God. But I want us to come over here and to represent to Almighty God and to the others around us, God's changed my root, and I want it to shine forth in all of my fruit. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Corrupt root, no doubt about it. I understand. Good root. What are you producing this morning? Let's pray.